welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James, the Fat Man Stevens,
hello,
and the superstar Brianne.
Yeah, no black glove today.
Nope, he put the glove in the wrong hand and ended up having to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
What? Oh my god.
All right, so I'm pretty sure Brie has seen it, but John, you ever watch Dave Chappelle's old comedy routines?
I haven't in a long time. I want to see his new one.
Okay, so I actually watched the new one. That's what I was going to bring up today.
I want to see it.
You guys remember Dave Chappelle's Killing Them Softly?
Yes.
That one was the one that, like, everybody around high school age loved, was raving about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the new one just came out 26th of this year, called Sticks and Stones.
And it triggered everybody.
And Ryan wanted me to watch. He kind of texted me and bugging me to go check it out. So I actually watched it the other day. And what he told me to do is to go on to Rotten Tomatoes and then look at the critic score versus the audience score. The critic score is 31%.
Yeah, audience is 99.
Audience is 99%.
Yeah, you can't trust Rotten Tomatoes. Usually they're, if you see something that's bad on Rotten Tomatoes, you should watch it.
So, yeah, but that's kind of where I was at. And I actually started reading the critics right off the bat. I just want to see what their big thing was. And they were saying that he's fallen off and he's not relevant and that he's just pushing. And I started looking. I'm like, you know, he was relevant on every damn thing he said.
Well, was this like the woke patrol? I mean, what people?
and that's kind of what it was. It was like they were all like the hipster, trendy douchebag wannabes are bashing it, trying to get people not to watch it. And then the audience is like, if you don't like comedy, don't watch this. And I, you know, going in and I looked at it and he was on a couple hot button topics, guns, mass shooting or school shootings, things like that. He talked about,
and the transgender thing he had a joke about that apparently pissed a lot
and
of people off.
Jules Sommier or whatever. Anyways. But I'm like, you know, I don't really like comedians that go on political topics. That's not something I usually kind of stay away from. But, man, I was laughing. I was laughing on everyone that he went on. And it wasn't like he was really going for one side or the other. He was giving you his viewpoint on it. And I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
The transgendered person he made fun of, was that the
Jules Sommier from
was that the creepy guy that wanted to have a nude 13-year-old party?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Because there was some transgendered lady that wanted a waxer to wax her testicles.
It was a guy, and it was a guy, but he wasn't doing that. But he did bring up like the whole. He didn't really get into the pedophile thing, but he was kind of talking about like, well, he did bring up Michael Jackson. So he did kind of get into the pedophile type thing, but you know, it was like one of those things where he's just like, you know, if you have Michael Jackson stare at your anus, because that's what they were saying, is you wanted to look at little boys' buttholes or some shit. You know, you only are don't going downgraded after that, because Michael Jackson's way up here. And anybody else after that, you know, is not going to be so, you know. So, I don't want to ruin his jokes,
no,
you know.
I'm sorry. Just
but
the
that's
asshole.
Kind of the way that is that it went. Was, like, you know, like, all right, that's a good point.
Like, I understand staring at the opposite sex's butt, but the anus is a very weird kink. I know.
Well, that's kind of what it is. But, you know,
the one I want to see is Bill Burr just came up with a new special. I love Bill Burr. One of my favorite things he does is it's a bit about why you should never hit a woman. Because it's hilarious because, you know, his comment was The View was talking about you should never hit a woman. He's like, I can come up with eight right now. And it's a hilarious bit because on how many points, even at the time, you could see he would trigger people on it.
Yeah.
So it's funny in multiple levels. You know, and his new special is called Paper Tiger. And I kind of like, he's kind of like the angry Irish Boston comedian who I've always had a soft spot for the angry Boston comics.
Okay.
Yeah. I found something interesting. I was watching an episode, a couple of clips of Pawn Stars, and I saw something I've never seen before. It's a tiny Bible that measures about 1.6 square inches. And it's all 1,245 pages of the King James Bible. It's a microfiche Bible that actually went on the Apollo 14 mission in 1971. It's basically this big. It's the entire book, the entire Bible.
Do you need a magnifying glass to see?
You'd need a microfiche.
What I'm thinking. It's like, how did they read that on there? They brought a whole thing on with them?
That was the thing I didn't... That was the part I didn't understand, because it had to be expensive to make, and what was the point besides going to say that that's the whole Bible?
Holy shit. Yeah, how are you going to read that?
You read that with a magnifying glass.
You really couldn't. I mean, you have to have like a really, really damn good magnifying glass.
Even James's mom would have a hard time reading that thing, because it's super tiny.
How much did they buy it for?
I think... Hold on. My iPad had issues with. So the person, it was up for bid. It's according to this article. I don't know when the article was actually written, but they're currently underway. The starting bid is $50,000. And this is one that went on to the Apollo 14 mission. And apparently, according to the episode of Pawn Stars I watched, or the clip, it was something the company that did it that kept trying to get that on. I don't understand it. I mean, it's kind of...
Wait, like, they wanted to get that on the space shuttles?
They were trying to get it on this on the Apollo trips, and that was the first one they able to do it.
Could you imagine having enough money at your disposal to just drop $50,000 on a 1-inch Bible?
No.
I mean, can you even imagine? That's like something that, like, it's going to get lost between your couch cushions.
I would. The other thing is, you have to find a microfiche reader, and I haven't seen one in years.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I think it would be cool to have, but $50,000 is insane.
Insane, like $50. Sure. Like $50,000. No.
And I've got so many Bibles at this point that that I don't need any more to collect.
Church.
Yeah, but I'm just still like...
Well, I use my phone. I mean, that's the funny part. If you're a Christian for a long enough period of time, you collect Bibles.
Did they have a microfiche reader on the Apollo trip? See, that's what I was confused
this was,
at.
It was a stunt. It was, it was like the internet stunts before the internet. That's the only thing I could think of.
Like sending up a monkey in the space shuttle, but not a smart.
Or sending up a car.
Well, I mean, if you can get a car up there, I mean, why not get, a Winnebago?
They've gone black.
It's gotta be a Winnebago.
I just really weird. So I've been really big into mixing my own drinks lately. Like the last 6 months, I've been really into making my weekly drink with fresh ingredients. And I ran across one that was, it's fascinating. It's called the Ramos Gin Fizz. And basically The Ramos Gin Fizz. So pretty much.
Wow. I did not hear gin. I heard jizz. I was like, wait a second, John. What did you just say?
I know what's on the tip of your tongue.
Well, you did gin fizz, so it just kind of blended, I guess, in the headphones. I don't know. That was really disturbing for a second there, John.
I
was going to say, who's Ramos, and why are you bringing him around?
So here,
acquiring those fresh ingredients hand over fist.
So here's the ingredients. The reason I thought this was fascinating. So it's a quarter cup or it's 2 ounces of gin, and that's it. But here's the other ingredients. It's
does it come from Ramos?
Blossom water, one egg white, half and half lemon juice, fresh lime, simple syrup, ice cubes, and a tablespoon of seltzer.
So you're and just you throwing shake a egg white in there?
Yeah, so
a raw egg white.
So you know what? So if you actually, it's not uncommon.
I know it's not uncommon. I'm just like that. Just does not sound pleasant.
I've done it. It's there's a drink. I think it's the whiskey sour, something like that. There's one of those. You put the egg white in there. You mix it up, and it's what creates the fizz.
Foam, yeah, the foam. Yeah.
But so this is it. The, it's weird because if you take a look at it, it's very fizzy and kind of funky. Like, this is what it does. Huh. And it just looks horrid because the idea of putting milk and then you're adding some sort of citrus just sounds like it would not sit well in your stomach. Because like the cement mixer.
Yeah.
You know, but an acquaintance of mine was going to become was aiming to become a bartender, and she was doing the practice. I was actually helping her study, and I came across the Carta cement mixer. Basically, it's a milk product and alcohol, and you swallow them. You put them in your mouth together and shake it up and swallow it. It's what you give somebody to puke, apparently.
Okay.
It's like,
is that like if they get roofied?
I don't know.
It's a prank drink that you give someone to make them vomit. That's really all it is.
It sounds awful.
Well,
you must not like that person,
right?
You are going to leave our bar. No, here, drink this.
Yeah. Okay. Free drink.
Yeah.
But I've been totally digging making it. Cause I actually love making it more than I like drinking it, but it's really fun to kind of find for the fresh ingredients. Because the one I've been doing either a whiskey sour or my version of an old fashioned, and then like a Midori sour.
So are you just going to buy some old oaken barrels that are burned and start making your own booze?
So here's the thing that I found interesting. You can
you want fresh ingredients, right? Well, you can want fresh alcohol, John.
You can actually buy a barrel. It's a small little barrel that you pour whiskey in and you let it sit for a while, and it actually adds flavor to it.
I believe it, yeah.
And so it's like... Yeah. If I could get away with it, I might, because it's kind of fun.
Well, you know, the great thing is that you live in a part of California that has a lot of trees. You know, I'm just giving you hints here, John.
I don't want to make the fucking barrel. I'd rather buy the damn thing.
Well, you were talking about fresh ingredients, John. Well, like fresh ingredients. Saying there's a lot of them outside your door.
Well, okay. So the funniest thing about this is, so I went to the store to buy Midori. And I actually called a couple of stores and they like, oh, I've never heard of it. We don't have any. And I went to the grocery store up here, found it. And it's a bright green bottle. I'm not quite sure how you actually miss a bright green bottle of melon liquor.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so I was talking to the lady. She's like, oh, I love this stuff. Did you get the mix? It's like, wait, did you get what? She's like, oh, you got to get the sour mix. It's like, but it's just half an ounce of lime, half an ounce of lemon and a few other ingredients. It's not particularly hard to make. She's like, seriously?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't like having, you know, if I want sugar, this is not the fastest way I want to get sugar.
All you got to do
most people don't know that. They just want to drink something that is sweet. And so they buy the Midori and they buy the sour and they make their shit. They don't care about ingredients. Well, they just want to get drunk.
The great thing about those bottles of the mixes is that they have this thing, like if you turn them around and look down, there's this thing called ingredients.
That's a trade talk.
It tells you just what's in there. They don't tell you the ratio, but I mean, it kind of just tells you, oh, wait, there's sugar, there's water, lemon juice, orange juice, a little bit of pineapple juice. Wow.
See, that's what made me laugh is because, like, I'm kind of a snob in some things. And like, if I'm going to even drink out like one drink of anything, like I have two a weekend, that's it. And so I want something that actually tastes fresh, not like I'm drinking a fucking popsicle. Cause it's bad enough. Like, I've tried some of the margarita mixes and like, it'll make you diabetic after one.
Yeah, it makes you puke is what it does.
Well, see, that's why if I'm ever going to use that stuff, I put like a little bit of that at the bottom, like maybe like quarter of an inch.
But it's not hard to
and
make,
and then
though.
You put like 3-4 inches of alcohol on top.
So you want to hear something? So Steve Austin actually has his own, he calls it the Broken Skull Margarita. He floats on the top of Grand Marnier.
Yeah.
It's like, interesting.
I really don't like the taste of Grand Marnier just pure, but all right.
I'm not really into it.
I mean, if you're going to sip it.
Even if... No. Well, of course, I sip the alcohol. I mean, I don't want to go all that work and then just down it at once. There's no point to it.
John, I mean, if there's a fizz, you're going to run out of the fizz by the time you get down to the bottom.
That's why I don't put the fizz. I did it once just to try it, and that's it.
Did you just guzzle it? You guzzled the fizz?
No, actually, I took one sip, set it down, went to do something, and the next thing I know, it was all gone. No fizz.
I think I just made Bree choke on something.
Bree would know.
Oh.
What did you say?
I said, you wish.
I was going to say, you're very grateful that there's like 30 miles in between us right now.
No. Bree wouldn't hit me. She would just talk more shit.
I would hit you.
I can multitask. Good idea. Yeah, I'm going to
out of the fridge and talking on the phone right now. I'm all about this multitasking.
And she can sew you a skirt.
That's great.
Oh God, it reminds me of a mutual friend of ours has been trying to get me into high heels for like 20 years, and I was trying to raise funds for a friend of mine's nonprofit, and I told her that if I can raise enough funds for my friend's nonprofit, I'll actually do it. Never worked out. This is a friend of mine who, you know, he's an old guy, he helps a lot of poor people. I'm like, hey, if I can give him an actual couple of bucks, you know, what's that over my humility, if I can actually help people. Oh, because, like, he raises money for people in Nicaragua.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
But why does he have to have you in heels?
This is between a mutual friend and ours that said, look, if I can raise enough money, I'll, if you get me the heels, I'll do it just to make you happy so I can stop hearing about it.
John really wants an excuse to wear heels.
That's what I'm coming down to. It's like I'm still wondering what's the point of buying the heels.
The reason why
you buy the heels for your wife?
Because I don't know any. I know very few people who can raise money like she can. She has the mouth of the South. She can sell ice boxes to Eskimos. I mean, do you know a few people? I don't know too many people like that. She's one of them. So if she has a goal, I know I could get money.
All right.
Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I've got too many comments here, John. About and they all have to do with heels.
About a mutual friend, not me and heels, you fucking pervert.
That's where we're at.
You're just a pervert.
I mean, earlier we were just talking about Bree getting you a skirt, and now you want to wear heels?
Where'd the fucking skirt came up with? I'm confused.
After she hits you, she's multitasking.
And I'm deaf as shit because I didn't hear that.
Apparently not.
Well, yeah, I know you're deaf.
So I was gonna bring up. So you guys heard of Carnival Row?
Where? Yes.
On Amazon Prime.
Carnival Row.
Yeah, Carnival Row.
It looks interesting. I have not watched it yet.
I have never heard of.
Well, I'm not gonna tell you any spoilers, Bree, but I actually have been watching it. It's got a Orlando Bloom in it, and I was actually looking. Yeah. He really hasn't done shit since The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbits.
In all honesty, I don't think he has to. I mean, he's probably made so much money from that he's probably set
between
Pirates
of the Caribbean and Lord of the Rings, he's got to be rolling.
Oh, yeah, but I'm still thinking, like, I actually do like the guy as an actor.
Yeah, I think he's a really good actor.
I liked him in Black Hawk Down.
You would. Somebody has to like that movie. Anyways, but, yeah, so I was watching this one. I'm just, like, watching him act. Gotta say, he doesn't really remind me of Legolas, so I'm actually very happy about that.
Well,
but I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you know, he's a really good actor. And I was thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of really good actors from 10, 15 years ago have stepped out of movies, if we really think about it. And they're getting into Netflix originals, Hulu originals, Amazon originals, like even Tim Roth. Remember, I was talking about Tin Star.
There's probably a couple of reasons why. One,
the stories are better.
Well, there's the stories and the fact that the way Hollywood is now, and I don't think it's really been like this historically, is the fact that you always need the new, young, hot thing. So, like, Orlando Bloom mm-hmm. has some, you know, there's some rust on the rose. So he's not.
He's
still
hot.
Yeah. I mean,
he's still hot. He's not that old.
He's still attractive, but if you compare it to I don't know any new guys, but like Margot Robbie, you know, some of the new people, he doesn't have that star power. So I think what it is.
He doesn't. He's very underappreciated as an actor, I think, because of some of the roles he's taken on have got him to kind of like this niche casting pool, it seems like. But at the same time, I think a lot of the reason that people are going towards these Netflix, it's a guaranteed job for a set amount of time. It's not just one movie. You get a season, and then if you get renewed, you get another season. Yeah. So you're guaranteed more work over time. And a lot of these guys, I mean, a movie is just, I think it's more work at any given time. And I mean, a lot of these guys have really stepped out of the spotlight in general because the whole paparazzi thing has gotten so insane. And I mean, I get it. I mean, like we were talking about Dave Chappelle earlier. I mean, he disappeared because it was too much.
He quit a show and showed up in South Africa.
Yeah.
Do you really blame him? Let's try and come out.
Yeah. I think James is right though. Like, on the part far is better stories, because if you look at the crap they're selling now, right now it's a bunch of superhero movies and other bullshit. Like, we have a movie that we're reviewing next week or the week before after that that somebody sent us to watch, and
what
it looks
movie?
I don't remember the name.
I'd have to pull it up right off the
it's not a superhero movie. It's not even like a genre piece, really. So it's one of those things that it's something different, because I'm so tired of superhero movies. Everything's cut and paste. I mean, the 80s was bad because everything was an action movie, but at least it was mindless entertainment. There's only so much I can see some sort of super-powered bimbo, and that fits for both male and females because they're all a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, we're going to be reviewing Hate Crime.
That's it.
Oh.
I'd never heard about it until it was sent to us. I'm like, why not?
We did one a couple months ago. I don't remember the name off the top of my head.
Was it the Asian one? The one that was like Die Hard?
Oh, yeah, we did that one, but I was going to bring up the one about the artist.
Oh, yes.
The one that was doing the drugs. And I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But it was a really good movie. Actually, if we can find it for you, Bree, I think you'd probably like it too. But even still, like, that's the thing. It's like when we were growing up, I mean, we would wander through a Blockbuster video or Hollywood video or a mom and pop.
Kind of more random, obscure things.
Yeah. But
instead of sifting through thousands and thousands of things on Netflix trying to find something to watch, your choices were more limited.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because too much is too much. I mean, I can't sift through all of Netflix, but people spend more time trying to find something to watch on Netflix than watching Netflix.
Well, what I did like initially when Netflix started, and John can back me up on this one, is when Netflix started, you literally would go through their thing and you would have them ship you three things at a time.
Yeah.
I had a queue of over 500 movies. And then I would go on to Netflix and they'd have the recommended thing, and I would just sit there and I'd rate all the movies I had seen, and I had rated over 65,000 movies before I lost my Netflix. And because I just sit there for like maybe 30 minutes and just be like, rate. Oh, I haven't seen this one, and then put that in my queue. And I would do that. And how big was that stack that I had of just, because you could send them all back at once?
It was ridiculous.
So I had a stack like at least like,
it was 5 feet. It was like 2 feet.
Too closer to 2 feet the envelopes that I had just sitting there. And I'm like, I wonder if I get the postage back on these, because that'd be a good amount of money. But, you know.
But the other thing I miss about the DVDs is the issue I have with watching it now and instant stuff like that is, as soon as you watch like the first 5 minutes, you're like, fuck it, I'm not into it. You go to the next one. Versus one of the benefits of going to the rental store or even getting the DVD, it's like, okay, I've got no choice. I rented a damn thing.
Yeah.
The movie we watched months ago was called Hard Surfaces 2017. Yes.
Hard Surfaces. That was a good one. I think you'd like that one, Brie.
Oh, by the way, as
where did you find it? What is it on?
We watched it on like a.
It's Amazon Prime, Google Play, Vudu. It's on everything, I think.
Okay.
Okay, I have Prime. I can watch it on there.
By the way, as always, shout out to our friends over across the pond and Shunk Films, my favorite small film studio. Support your local filmmaker, because without them, you're going to be stuck with Hollywood movies.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, that's the thing. Like when we were kind of growing up, we could throw out movies like, have you seen Kids? You know?
Yeah.
And I still ask people that, like, that are around our age. Have you seen the movie Kids?
The weirdest,
no? Yeah. You got to watch that movie.
The weirdest part about Kids.
Gummo, dude.
Oh, Gummo.
We're watching Gummo with Merge. That shit was weird. Holy crap.
was going to say the weirdest part of
or Jeff of with his feast movies.
Dude, Jeff brought Orgasmo to watch when we were college junior, and we like took turns like sitting in the back in the little break area of Carl's Jr. watching Orgasmo throughout the day.
Wow, holy crap. So Gummo, G-U-M-M-O, 1997.
Oh, yep.
This is not a movie that I was actually familiar with, believe it or not.
Oh, you were?
So teen friends, Tomler and Solomon, navigate the ruins of a tiny tornado-ravaged town in Ohio that is populated by deformed, disturbed, and perverted when not gunning down stray cats for a few bucks. The boys pass their time getting stoned on household inhalants elsewhere. The mute bunny boy dons rabbit ears and is bullied by a kid half his age. And sisters Dot and Helen dodge a pedophile.
Yep.
And honestly, none of the people in this movie have gone anywhere.
Surprisingly, right?
Well, like, Kids is hilarious because, like, I watched Kids when it came out or close to it when I was younger. It's like, oh, this movie's badass. As an adult, I'm like, what the fuck? So that I actually enjoyed that. Like, we reviewed it for Real Flicks Reviews, and I kind of enjoyed the change in perspective, especially now that I had a son, because if I heard my son talking like they did that in there when he's a teen, I'd probably slap him.
Hey, that's the way I used to talk. I know it was the way Bree used to talk, and you used to talk like that too, John.
Fuck you.
yeah, you still talk like that.
No, that's I just found that that switch was one of the few times that it actually happened.
But I've had this conversation with a lot of people that are my age now, and I'm like, dude, look at that 12-year-old over there. Will you go over there and give him a joint and a beer and a pack of cigarettes?
Right.
And they're like, no. You know, people my age now did that to me when I was 12. They gave me a beer, hard alcohol, joints, cigarettes, and all that shit.
You know what's funny? When I was like 16 and, you know, up, I would take cigarettes away from those kids.
I know you did.
And yell at them. They would like come around on their skateboards with cigarettes on it. I would literally take cigarettes out of their mouths and be like, fuck you, you're too young to smoke. And then I would smoke their cigarettes.
Like, yep.
All the time.
So here's something. Here's something, Harris. If you look up Gummo on Google, this is what comes up. The first one is Kids.
Oh.
13. Mm-hmm. Beach Rats.
Oh, yeah, that's a fucked up movie.
Which one?
Beach Rats. I've never heard of it.
Beach Rats.
Mysterious Skin. And then all the way towards the, close to the bottom is Crash and Showgirls.
Oh, God.
And let's see what else.
Wait, which Crash?
It's 96.
Okay, yep. That's so probably the one that you don't want to watch.
So it always made me laugh when you type up anything and Showgirl shows up.
Oh gosh.
I remember when I was a kid and it came out and everybody was like, oh, this is going to help her and blah, blah, blah.
I think
that crashes with Helen Hunt and, the guy who played Hannibal Lecter later on after,
holy crap.
After Showgirls, Anthony Hopkins.
Showgirls got a 4.8 out of 10. Isn't that a little high for that movie?
So have you seen that movie 13?
James Spader. Sorry, James Spader. He was blacklist.
I can tell you as the mother of a daughter that is in middle school, like, I don't even want to think about that movie. That movie was like so messed up.
So honor student Tracy Freeland has troubled home life, but is closer to her mother, Melanie, while trying to conceal her inner turmoil by excelling academically, she befriends the calculating Evie, her school queen bee. Evie talks Tracy into experimenting with drugs, exploring her sexuality, pickpocketing strangers to finance shopping sprees. But before long, Melanie realizes she must stop her daughters.
She literally finds this little girl who's like the sweet, innocent little like seventh grader who still plays with Barbies. And like, gives her drugs and like gets her to have sex and like all this stuff at 13. And you're like, God, having a daughter, like, oh gosh, it freaks me out.
I knew a lot of 13-year-olds when I was about that age that were just that.
Yeah, I know, but I also remember kicking those girls out of parties.
Yeah, that's true.
In high school. Like, here's a beer, go sit outside and wait for your ride.
See you later, Monica.
Who was that other girl? That one with like the short curly hair that like she would come around. Oh. Apparently, supposedly I like threatened her at some point, and I don't remember that, but like she would come around.
I know you're talking about it. I don't remember. Like Lauren? I can see her face.
I want to say it's like Lindsay or something, but like I might have been Lindsay. I don't know. She was annoying as shit, though. But she was one of those kids that would like pop up at like 13, and like nobody liked her, but like she'd come around anyways, trying to get the.
But the only problem is your list of threatening people was just, it's a little long.
Apparently longer than I remember. Yeah, I don't know. I remember very rarely seriously threatening anybody.
Yeah, but your list of threatening people is like the list of people that say they knew me.
Well, yeah, but like
who the hell are you?
My threats aren't usually like real, you know?
Well, usually for Bree, it's like, I'm going to kick your ass, get out of here. And, you know, because usually it was just an add-on part of the sentence. And usually the people were scared enough going, oh, she's going to hurt me, which is hilarious.
And I'm just like sitting there laughing, like, and then she tell me to leave. And I'm like, fuck you.
Right. But like, I feel like the only time like you'd need to take me seriously is if I'm like relatively quiet and like monotone and looking at your eyes.
Yeah.
Just like, that's it.
Oh my god!
If I told people any kind of attitude, like don't even worry about it, because I'm laid back, I'm fine. Like if I say, "Hey, fuck you," I'm gonna kick your face. Like obviously, I'm not gonna do that.
So Google's algorithm got even trippier. So down the list more is Natural Born Killers,
Wait, the same movie, Kids.
No, it's on the same Gummo. List as Kids is Gummo when you type it up. So same list as Natural Born Killers, A Clockwork Orange, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh god.
Pretty Baby, which is something I've never heard of. Human Centipede. So this this list went from okay Kids to who the hell is doing this list?
I'm still a little bit baffled why Cannibal Holocaust got thrown in there. Like Cannibal the Musical, maybe.
I've not seen Cannibal Holocaust.
Have you seen Cannibal the Musical?
No, I have not.
Dude, you got to go watch Cannibal the Musical.
Okay.
Matt Stone and Trey Parker's film school movie.
Wow. Oh,
really?
Yeah. So Stop Mormons, you'll love it.
So
that's awesome.
So Pretty Baby, listen to this. A New Orleans hooker meets a photographer named Bullock. At her
Bullock or Bullock?
B-L-L-O-C-Q.
Bullock.
At her brothel one night,
the Batman
and
guy,
and he photographs her and befriends her 12-year-old daughter Violet Brooke Shields. When Violet is brought on as a working girl by her mother's madam and Hattie skips town to get married, Violet quickly loses her innocence and focuses on reuniting with Bullock. But a life with Bullock is compromised for Violet and her mother's return to town. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, it's like.
It's like Taxi.
Jodie Foster. Think about like
Taxi Driver.
It was the same thing. It was overly sexualized young girls.
Well, to be completely honest, I couldn't make it through Taxi Driver. I got halfway through and said, "Yeah."
No, I've never actually watched that whole movie.
I've tried to watch it like 2001. I've probably tried to watch it half a dozen times and never got through it.
I got through both of those.
But you are the only person I know who used to be a glutton for punishment. You would choose a movie even if it was crappy and force yourself to watch it. I'm just not that mean to myself.
I will absolutely turn.
I sat through
off.
Dog Day Afternoon too,
and all seven.
Another terrible movie.
That's my punishment is I will read a crappy book to the end, but I will not watch a crappy movie.
James sat through all seven Phantasms in a week.
Yeah.
I have not seen any of those.
They're hilarious if you like funny horror movies.
Yeah, and then you can also just sit there and watch all the cubes after that, too.
But
the cubes are pretty funny until you get the cube, Hypercube.
But Phantasm's like 78, early 80s horror movie. They're hilarious.
Yeah. That's
hard. Versus, I don't know if I'd want to sit through Hypercube.
Have you got through Cube Zero, too?
I stopped at Hypercube. Like I said, I'm not a glutton for punishment. I'm not like someone who likes torturing myself.
I did the Hellraisers too.
I was forced to watch Clockwork Orange for a movie review show. That's as close enough as I want to get.
I have that on my Netflix list to watch, and I just have not been able to bring myself to do it.
I actually like it, but if you if you watch it for fun, I would have never been able to enjoy it. But if you watch it as like a film school essay type of thing, it's rather enjoyable because I was picking the movie apart as I was watching it for me personally.
Yeah, but you got to watch the film and realize that what Kubrick is saying is what society will eventually turn into as what they accept and what they will allow to get through the justice system.
I
thought that was Idiocracy.
Same thing.
Yeah, but Idiocracy is a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah. There were parts of... I actually thought Clockwork Orange was really well done. I actually thought... what was it? That movie where that chick got possessed was better.
Exorcism?
I thought Exorcist was better, but I did the same thing. I don't like spiritual horror movies, so I actually was watching it bit by bit for film, shot, composition, and I figured out why it's so scary. There's not a straight shot in the entire fucking movie. The straightest shot is gay.
I never found The Exorcist to be scary.
I've always been sensitive to those type of movies. Like, I've never handled spiritual horror movies well. If it's a hack and slash, doesn't bother me. Spiritual stuff just really gets to me. Always has.
The only thing that gets me is the suspenseful, like the jump scare, because my anxiety is too much to handle. Yeah,
The jump scare, like that is the most cop out for any horror film ever.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But it plays to your anxiety, and that I can't watch it. And it's not so much that it bothers me or like it scares me later. I just can't sit there and like wait for.
See, but that's what I want is something that scares you later. Like that's what I look for in a horror film. If it's
just watch the fucking news.
Trump is still president. But if I'm watching something and Tangerine there's like a tornado. Jump scare in it, it immediately to me, like this is a bullshit horror film.
No, I agree. It's a cheap pop. It's like a comedian being in a conservative area and making fun of Democrats. It's a cheap pop. But
the thing is like, I like more like, and now I'm not saying those are scary, but the Michael Myers and the Jason where it's like, he's going to get you eventually. And then it's fucking hilarious.
So that's you like hack and slashes more
mostly. But if it's something along the lines of like, now there really is no good ghost film out there. There really isn't, like where it's like the ghosts are coming to do whatever the hell you want. Like even the movie, The Others, like that one was the closest they ever came. But that wasn't really a really good telling. And I mean, like those types of things, like, you know, like there's really none well done out there. Like
what about Annabelle? I've heard it like
Annabelle is a shitty ass movie based on some fictitious. Okay, I can't say the doll is fictitious because the doll does exist, but it's just people playing on their own little kind of scares on it. The story is scarier than the actual movie.
Well, yeah, the only problem, books are more scary because it's playing with your mind.
And that's what I was going to say, too, is like Alfred Hitchcock, his old horror series that he used to put out in books, like the stories in there were great.
See, I don't like, my amazing wife loves horror movies. I've never been able to watch it because I'm always sensitive. I think a lot like Brie is because my anxiety has always been fairly high. So stuff like that and the spiritual stuff, it just doesn't play with me. Like, I like a good action movie, mindless violence I can handle. I can handle like animated horror a little bit better, but I just can't do horror movies. Never been able to. I'd never be able to watch Annabelle.
But Annabelle's not a scary movie.
But for me, it would be.
No, I haven't watched horror movies in a really, really long time. The last, like, I remember I went and saw when the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake came out, and I went and saw that in the theater.
Was it the Rob Zombie one? Didn't he read
it? No, not House of Thousand Corpses. I liked that one. No, it was like back in like 2003 or something like that.
That remake. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I shouldn't have watched it in the theater because I didn't think it would scare me. I watched the original and it wasn't scary to me, but like it's got enough realism to the story. Like those ones that are like,
driving down the highway,
car breaks down, and like those kinds of things freak me out because they're just that grain of possibility.
Well, you know the inspiration for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? You know who that is?
I don't remember. I know
it's a guy by the name of Ed Gein.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, they found his house, and he had turned people into furniture and had them hanging up like meat on meat hooks and shit in his house. But
there's that hint of truth. But then you have movies like Jeepers Creepers, which
oh
is
god,
like, oh my god,
when are you gonna get those peepers?
I would not if I'd been watching it by myself.
So I liked that song until that movie,
and it took me quite a long time just sitting here trying to think of the one movie that ever creeped me out, and that was the '90s remake of oh gosh, I just completely forgot the name of it, the zombie one, the Living Dead.
Oh, Night of Living Dead.
Night of Living Dead, the 90s remake. And I saw that when I was like seven or eight.
Yeah.
And that's like, and we lived near an open field back where there was like bulls and everything. It kind of reminded me of like the field that the zombies were walking up. And that kind of like freaked me out, but it wasn't like it was like scary. But, you know, that was like the only horror movie that I can ever think of that ever like kind of made me.
I've never liked horror
movies.
Other
than that, it's just books.
I remember
stories.
Books are much stick with me much more. And there's like certain movies that I watched because I was a kid. They freaked me, like Children of the Corn kind of freaked me out when I was a kid.
I didn't really do that, me.
I've always been sensitive to like scary stuff like that. There was a kid's horror movie, and this was when I was a little kid. I remember watching it. I think it had the boogeyman in it. Like, I literally don't remember it. I just remember this character, the boogeyman, scaring the ever-living shit
out
of me.
Nightmare Before Christmas?
No, this was easily sometime in the mid-early 80s. I mean,
So the Nightmare Before Christmas boogeyman didn't scare you?
No.
Okay.
So I have this weird thing, and maybe you'll know. Because I don't remember what it was. And I've talked to my sister about this before, and she remembers it too. And it was before, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? But it was one of those, like, Nickelodeon, like, kids scary series.
It wasn't Goosebumps, right?
No, that was...
I don't think it was Goosebumps. I think it was something else. And all I remember is this kid being, like, locked in a box and, like, forced to grow his hair.
Huh.
And, like, it was... super creepy, and that's like all I remember about it. But I remember it scaring the shit out of me because it was so weird. Like, it was just super, super creepy.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
But I can't remember what the series was. I'm sure it was a series. I don't think it was a movie.
No, it would have to be before Goosebumps, because Goosebumps came out. Goosebumps was released by R.L. Stine as a book series back in the early 90s, like 93, 92.
And this is probably when that show was on, would have been like really early 90s or maybe even really.
Yeah, so Goosebumps was still a book series and not a TV.
Erie, Indiana.
Oh, it might have been.
Because Erie, Indiana had some pretty creepy
might
shit
have
on
been
it.
Erie, Indiana.
Okay, so I actually started watching this show again, and man, I didn't realize how many top shelf actors were in this show. But so I wasn't a big Twilight Zone fan, but I was a big Outer Limits fan.
I never liked shows like that.
I really dig that one, and they actually have it on Prime. Amazon Prime has it, and I started watching it, and man, there are some really big name actors that were on that show, and I was really surprised by it. And the really interesting thing, so they're opening their opening show, that there was, you know, the really long episode that they put out as like the whatever, I can't think of the name of it, but it was written by George R. R. Martin. It was a story written by him, and I was really blown away by that. But I started watching the show again, I'm like, you know, I still like this show. It's not as creepy as I remember it, as, you know, early preteen or whatever, but I really liked that show.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where it's at, because they stayed more true to stories than really adaptations of it.
See, I've always just been a wuss. I didn't like Twilight Zone, never liked Outer Limits, never liked
Twilight Zone was pretty cool, but
I was never even a fan of Alfred Hitchcock Presents, because it was
I loved Alfred Hitchcock.
Just because I've literally just been the kid who's scared of horror movies my whole life. I've never, anything horror related, I've just never been a fan of.
But his story compilations were so much better than his show, though.
Well, you know, like, I could, even as a kid, I could realize, hey, if this guy is good, it didn't take much to scare me. But it was one of those things that I just didn't like it. I couldn't handle it well. And it's still kind of with me as an adult. I just don't do well.
Yeah, I lost one of my favorite Alfred Hitchcock books, which is his Supernatural Stories that he put out. And I lost that book after reading it about the third time through. I lost it and I was so pissed. And I'm still pissed that I don't have it to this day. But it was one of my favorite books. And it had the stories of that, like I told you, is that were in the Treehouse of Horrors episodes of The Simpsons. Mm. There was a lot of his stories that were adaptations in that Treehouse of Horrors series that they did. And I remember the first time I saw the one where Bart was like the kid that they were all afraid of because he could warp people around. I'm like, oh my God, I remember that story from the book. And I was like all excited about it. And then I saw a couple other ones and I'm like, they basically took the entire book and put it into these.
I really wish I had time to read books, because when it comes to books, I'm super picky.
I read every night.
I am hardcore picky when it comes to...
every other night or every couple nights.
I've watched more YouTube.
And I still need to bring you a bunch of books, Bree.
Yeah, please. And
I forgot to tell Jeremy that you wanted the... Which ones? The...
Game of Thrones.
No, I have the Game of Thrones. Jeremy has the...
I bought a bunch of the Wheel of Time at a used bookstore.
Okay. Wheel of Time. Jeff... Jeff and I actually...
I have the first, like, five of those.
Jeff and I actually got in an argument about this when he was alive, because he always said, oh, that series is so much better than the Lord of the Rings. I'm like, okay, hold on. No offense, man. there's an entire backstory of Lord of the Rings that... There's whole professors who that's all they do. The Wheel of Time, and I tried to read it, just didn't dig it. Lord of the Rings...
Yeah, there's people really pick apart the Wheel of Time, too, but I really liked The Lord of the Rings. I didn't so much like The Hobbit.
Because The Hobbit is, the Hobbit to me, I mean, it's quick. I've read it and I've listened to it. It's just, it's not as engrossing. It doesn't have the lore.
It's just, I don't feel like it's as well written, honestly.
It's his first book, so like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so it's understandable.
The way I look at it is Tolkien as a writer, I guaranteed was studied by Martin. So Martin was able to take some of Tolkien, twist it into his own type of thing, you know, because Tolkien was, 80 years before Martin was even born or a twinkle in his father's eye. So that's kind of where I look at it, is like somebody like Martin, who started writing, I would say 70s, I think. So maybe only 60 years in between Tolkien and Martin. But anyways, like, he was able to study things that Tolkien had put down. Like, he probably even looked at the Silmarillion as a guidebook of, okay, I should start formulating the world that I'm going to encompass way and structurally and put
it's
it
a
in.
Perfect example of how you write a really good story.
Just kind of look and you take it and you make it better than what it was. So that's why I'm like, Martin is a fantastic writer. As far as I've heard and I've seen him in interviews, he's an asshole. But
he's a creepy asshole.
His writing is really good and engrossing.
The last book series
Sometimes you need to be a creepy asshole to get a good story, I guess.
Yeah, that's what people also say about, what's his name?
Stephen King?
Yeah, Stephen King, thank you.
He's a weird one.
Yeah, King is just kind of reclusive, and he used to be an alcoholic. So, or I guess he's a recovering alcoholic or whatever. But, in general, most people that know him, like when you read things from people who've collaborated with him and stuff, they say, I mean, he's awkward, but he's generally a pretty cool guy.
Well, there's one we didn't actually bring up during the horror films, is how many people do you know that hate clowns based on the movie It?
A lot, which is
actually
funny, because I need to watch the old one.
Oh, I love the old one.
Made me laugh.
Yeah, the new one is hilarious, but the old one with why can't I think of his name?
Tim
the
Curry
guy who just died,
creepy.
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry
is just a creepy guy.
And he's still alive and creepy.
That was such a great movie with Tim
Curry. Yeah, and I need to go back and watch it, because he can do creepy. I mean, it's really funny, because I bring this up to kids all the time, that they need to watch Muppet Treasure Island, because I love Muppet Treasure Island. But he was even creepy in that movie. And it was
nothing. Yeah, Tim Curry.
I think the difference between the person who played It now and It before was Tim Curry is an amazing actor. He's to use some wrestling terminology, he's the ultimate heel. He's it's his voice, it's his presentation. There's nothing about that guy that exudes that. I was going to say the book series, the last book series I really dug and I couldn't get enough of was the Forgotten Realms book, The Legend of Drizzt. And I got into book 20 something and I'm like, okay, this is getting repetitive and stopped. I actually sold all the books I bought because I'm like, I'm never going to read this again.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean.
Have you read the Vampire Hunter D series?
Yeah, I've read all of them.
I was just looking at my bookshelf and I have like three of them up there because I borrowed the rest from my sister. Holy shit, those are awesome.
The only thing I didn't like is when it got in later and he became a clone. That part kind of bugged me. But the reason I love it, though, besides the fact Vampire Hunter T was literally the first anime I ever watched that I knew was an anime.
It was one of my first ones, too. It's because they had it at Hollywood Video.
It was
one of those Hollywood Video anime section movies that we used to pick up sometimes.
My parents always had one of those giant satellite dishes when I was a kid, and the Sci-Fi Channel had what they called Japanimation Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So back in my day.
No, we used to watch that on Cartoon Network, had that at night, the Japanimation thing, and Noelle and I would stay up late just to watch it. And yeah, we saw it on there. Same with what's it called? They just made a movie.
Dragon Ball Z.
No,
oh God, I hope
it was a movie.
I hope not that movie.
That movie's hilarious.
Oh
yeah, that movie was awful. Amazing.
I won't watch it. I will not watch the live action.
So here's the reason why I think it's worth watching. I love the universe of Ghost in the Shell. I've seen everything made that I know about it except half of the last season of the anime TV show.
And I haven't watched a lot of the show.
It's fun. It's not quite like the first and second movie.
I started watching it when it was on TV a while back, but I never really got into it.
The reason why I think it's worth watching, because it's the comparing then contrasting the differences. They did stuff in the live action movie that they would have never done, that they did not do with the anime. And I have to admit, it does kind of bug me that Scarlett Johansson's in it.
Yeah.
I really don't like her as an actress.
Because they make money. I just don't think she's that great.
No, I really don't either.
I really don't understand her appeal.
Yeah, I finally was like, okay, fine, I give in. And I watched the last Avengers movie. And I'm just looking at her, I'm like, okay, you know, I accept the fact that they put her in this movie as Black Widow.
In a tight leather outfit.
But as I'm watching the movie, I'm like, she's my least favorite actress in this movie.
I find her to be boring.
Yeah.
And I don't really think she's good looking. And I know a lot of guys out there that are obsessed with Scarlett Johansson. And I mean, I don't want to be a dick and I don't want to like bash this girl, but I think maybe she's kind of a butterface. And if you just put her in the tight cat suit, then sure, that's great to look at. But like, I just don't see
the other one I don't like. There was another one that was like the in Dark Knight, but she wasn't in.
I know who you're talking about. I just don't.
Was it
Maggie Gyllenhaal?
No, it was like that's who replaced her.
Oh, it's Katie Holmes.
Yeah, Katie Holmes. Thank you. So Katie Holmes. I don't like her either.
Katie Holmes has, as far as acting wise, has better chops than Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson.
I agree. She just has that little squeaky voice that's annoying.
I think one of the reasons a lot of people like Scarlett Johansson is she's a little bit more full figured than the traditional Hollywood ladies.
Which is appealing.
Which is great. I mean, she's got a good body that's like a healthy body and she's not a stick figure, which is nice. She's got boobs. People like her boobs. But like, that's not why I watch movies.
I think she has, far as in the female acting ability, I think she's one step above Megan Fox. Because I she doesn't do anything for me. I mean, I remember seeing Lucy and I was somewhat thinking, couldn't they find a woman with more acting range?
And I see Megan Fox in like do like series cameos, and like if she's given comedy, she's actually pretty funny because she can really do like a good deadpan comedy.
That's good. Yeah, I haven't seen her do that.
I always had this theory that any actor or actress, once they find their genre, they could fit in. Like, I thought she did really good in the first Transformers movie. I think she could do good in a movie, like a serious movie that had a good director that knew how to actually make her act. Yeah. I don't think Michael Bay is perfect for her, just because Michael Bay, all he does, he makes movies for 14-year-old boys, which if you like those type of movies, those are the type of movies you like. There's nothing wrong with it, but I just don't think she was... But she's like Scarlett Johansson. There has to be a role she's good in. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, but I mean, like, not everybody's going to be able to be as diverse as, like, Robin Williams that we've brought up,
well,
you know, like,
if you,
where he
Christopher
can go
Lambert.
Everything.
Christopher Lambert, for example, the guy from Highlander. He's really good at certain movies. If you need a movie with a 1,000-yard stare, he'll be good at it. I really, every movie he's in that's within his genre that I think he's good at, I love, even if it's fucking awful, I've always loved. Or Michael Ironside, amazing voice, very good at certain roles, and I'll watch every role he's in. I mean, whether you're talking about Neon City, which nobody knows of, if you're talking about Starship Troopers, etc., or Total Recall. He's not good in certain movies. So.
Yeah, and like we mentioned before, he died a couple years ago. Powers Booth. He was a fantastic bad guy. One of the best bad guys that you've ever seen. But, you know, like if you put him in like as a good guy, you're just like, no, he's a bad guy.
But the problem with Scarlett Johansson, I just haven't seen a single movie she's in. I like her. The only issue I think I have.
I wanted to like Lucy. I really did want to like that movie.
You know what I want to see? I want to see a movie, and I honestly mean this, where they're not highlighting her body. Like, because every movie she's in, she's either wearing tight pants or tight shirt. Her boobs are hanging out. I'd love to see her in a role where they're actually highlighting her as a character, not the fact she has tits. It's kind of annoying because as an adult, I'm like, because as an adult guy, I'm like, you know, it doesn't do anything for me. Part of it also is because my age, and I'm married to an amazing woman who I'm madly in love with. I don't really want to see some, you know, some slut hanging on the television. It doesn't do anything for me.
Well, I mean, as an adult female, it's bullshit, honestly.
it's bullshit.
Well, so here's the thing, too. Look at all of these movies, these romantic comedies where they put these young, hot, upcoming actresses in and their love interest is twice their age. How often do you see that happen?
Look at
what's wrong with a GILF?
20-something-year-old girl and, you know, there's this 45-year-old man.
Look at every Richard Gere movie.
Exactly.
Every movie he's in. Well,
exactly.
Maybe one. Wasn't he in the... Oh, was that one with... Never mind. Bruce Willis. It was the Jackal.
I was going to actually mention Bruce Willis, because in every movie Bruce Willis is in, he is Bruce Willis.
This is true.
He has no range, but the roles that he has chosen for are perfect for him. You put him at like 12 Monkeys? Yeah.
I'll watch that. So you guys mentioned Richard Gere and the fact that he's always like that hot guy, older guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember?
Richard Gere is the perfect guy for girls with daddy issues.
Yeah, but you guys know that he is the American Gigolo, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
No. He made a movie in 1980.
Yeah,
American Gigolo.
Yeah,
of course he's going to be that guy even to this day.
I mean,
he's way before Deuce Bigelow.
So you know who I feel like right now, as we're talking about people with acting chops, though, is Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Because that guy, he can be the most amazing bad guy. He can play off like just a giant dick. Like Sienna and I really like to watch, I can't even think of the name of the movie right now. The one with Tim Allen and they're like the actors from the like sci-fi Star Trek like TV show.
Oh, Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest. That is the stupidest movie, but I love that movie. And I love his role in that movie, and it's so goofy. I feel like he's got one of those voices too, like Tim Curry, that can like translate well, and you know it's Alan Rickman. But like,
I love Sigourney Weaver in that movie.
Yeah,
she's hilarious. Like, why am I repeating this? But I'm doing it.
You know, like that's a movie I gotta say that like got swept under the rug too fast.
Yeah.
I like that one, actually.
I like that movie a lot. And it's on TV a lot.
And it's aged like Spaceballs, which is really good. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we're actually really coming up to the end of the show. So we were talking about Scarlett Johansson, since all I do is highlight her bust. What type of movie do you think she would be good in if it wasn't highlighting her body versus her as a character actress?
I think that she needs to be in more serious roles.
That's what I was going to say.
I haven't watched movies that she's been in where I don't seek out those kinds of movies.
Like
Silence of the Lambs series?
Not one where she's a badass.
Right. Well,
Jodie Foster wasn't a badass in Silence of the Lambs.
But she still was.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because you're facing up to the big bad guy.
Yeah. So one where she's more like a, I wouldn't say like a serious drama role, but more that's like somewhat relaxed.
Well, but see, a serious I was thinking role. More of a drama role.
Well, I'm saying like a not so serious drama
like
role.
Steel like Steel Magnolias?
Like, yeah, not something like that, but more Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find movies that I've actually seen.
Where there's a little bit of highlight.
I remember been lost in translation.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
I totally forgot that was even her in that movie. That was a weird movie.
Because I'd like to see her in some hard-baked drama. I think she'd do good on Fried Green Tomatoes type of movie, because she has great, her timing seems to be perfect.
Yeah, but not like a Kathy Bates Misery role. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's like something in between.
Have a role. Okay, so like she was in He's Just Not That Into You. It was a realistic rom-com, you know, current.
I didn't watch that one, but I heard about it.
Movie. It wasn't that great. I watched it on TV not that long ago.
My issue with this is...
The other Boleyn girl, that was one she was in that I haven't seen. But those are the kind of roles that I see her in, are just like more maybe like slower paced.
Did you watch the Ms. Marvel movie?
I did. I liked it.
So the question is, how tight...
Ms. Marvel.
How tight was her suit?
Not that tight,
because because she was supposed to be the female superpower, you know, go girl power, and I was kind of wondering how actually much they highlighted the fact she was female. Was it, you know?
I don't think they did it that much. I actually really enjoyed that one.
Was it good?
I think that one is one of my favorites of all the ones that they did.
Hmm.
Yeah, I like it way better than the Black Panthers. I liked it better than Ant-Man.
I love the first one. I haven't seen the second.
The first Ant-Man is what I'm comparing it to. I actually thought it was one of the more well-done ones that they did.
My problem is I suffer from sequel syndrome. Like that's why this is one of the reasons why I was thinking about Scarlett Johansson and like what movies would she be good in, because I want to see people. I'm tired of movies with tits and ass. I don't need it. Even as a kid, like my whole theory for all that is it has to fit the story. Seeing Scarlett Johansson in something tight never fit any story she's in, besides the fact she's, you know, she's an actual person. She's not a coat hanger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think the chick that played Ms. Marvel was a good actress.
I've been watching Outlander. And I like the history. I read the first few books, and I like the historical parts of it. I think, you know, the whole idea of the war of, you know, Scotland and the Redcoats and blah, 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 blah. But you want to talk about gratuitous sex. Those books, that's why I stopped reading them. Like, I don't want to read about these people, like, boning in the woods when they have, you know, 16th century hygiene. That's disgusting to me.
The
show is just as bad. It's like every other scene they're like going at it. I'm like, can we just get to the plot?
So my wife has been watching it, and I asked her, so is this a bodice ripper?
Oh yeah.
And she had to look up the term. She's like, that's a perfect fit.
Yeah, it is. It's really funny because I was watching it the other day, and I told Sienna, I'm like, man, I'm really glad we don't live in a time where there were corsets, because her boobs just look like they hurt all the time.
Oh, I bet they do.
I mean, like, bras are uncomfortable enough, but imagine having one that like smashes halfway up and just pushes everything up to your chin. It looks so painful.
So you really want to be disturbed by something?
Sure.
Go look up and read up on how whorehouses used to be in the Wild West.
Oh, gosh, no.
No, that's more... I don't need to know any more than that.
That is, like, one of the most disgusting things I've ever thought about. Yeah. After hearing a historian talk about it, I'm like, that had to stink. Like before you even get near the door.
I heard slash read a quote.
Smell the syphilis from a mile away.
Yeah.
I heard and read a quote. I heard it on a TV show and I looked it up somewhere. And after that, I stopped looking. It was that this woman of renown, a woman of the night, was talking about how she used some sort of half dollar, stuck it upside her, and she was using it as a prophylactic.
Yep.
And then she would hand it out to the people at church.
Oh.
and
that's messed up.
And the handing it out to people at church didn't gross me out. It was the fact she stuck it up inside her. I'm like, okay, that's... Okay, I'm done. I don't need to know any more anything else than...
Well, let's just put it this way. You were lucky if the whore you paid a visit to douched in a month.
You're lucky if she took a washcloth to it in a month.
No, in between.
They don't have time. Yeah. They generally were back to back on the back.
Yep.
And back again. And yeah,
there was a line. There was a line. You were not the first man.
A moment
by far.
A moment with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury. So,
yep.
ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.